Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It is November 9th, 2019, another Saturday night, and it is the Saturday Spotlight with your boy, the one and only, that's E-R-Y, not R-E-Y, R-O-S-H-E-L-L, author Jeffrey Rochelle. Tonight, I am hosting, my co-host is gone for the night. Sean has taken the night off, so it is just me tonight hosting the show. And we have a good show tonight. We got author Marquita B coming on to talk about The Single Wife. And I know there's a lot of people that wants to hear about this book, because I do too. The Single Wife. We got author Marquita B. Marquita B in the house tonight talking about The Single Wife. So, as always, let's get started. So, just to reflect on the week, this week, I just want to know, how was everybody's adjustment to the time change? Me, myself, I was ready for this time change. Now, when time goes back up in March or April, I think it's March, it goes back up in March, I'm not going to be ready, because that's when we lose an hour of sleep. But last weekend, matter of fact, after Saturday show, Sunday, we gained an extra hour of sleep. And your boy was extra excited about that, because I love getting my sleep. Now that I got older and I'm not as young as I used to be now, I love getting my sleep. So I just was real refreshed when I got to work. And I was off last weekend, but I worked this weekend. But when I got back to work on Monday, I was real refreshed, because when you gain an hour of sleep, once you get past your 20s into your 30s, when you gain that hour of sleep, or when you just get a nap in, period, especially if you got kids or other things going on, it's like you feel refreshed. You feel overjoyed. I don't have any kids yet, but I can understand and can attest and say that I love sleep. And I know that if I did have kids, I would definitely enjoy getting my sleep, because I see with my friends that I grew up with, they have kids, and I know now they have kids. I see what y'all go through. So I would love to definitely make sure I get my sleep if I had kids. But this hour change, it really affected me in a positive way. And like I said, once it goes back up, the only thing that I'm going to be looking forward to once the time goes back up is the fact that it gets light outside and that we are not too far away from warm weather, because I cannot stand the winter, and I am a winter baby. My birthday will be here in about 3 weeks. Matter of fact, I will be celebrating my birthday, and I'm a winter baby, and I do not like the cold. I do not like the winter, and here in Chicago, it's already been cold. These past, Halloween, it was like, it snowed here. Matter of fact, on Halloween, and I'm talking about not just like light dust, flurry snow. It came down hard, like it was December or that January, that February That's what I'm not looking forward to, that February and that March, you know, even that April snow. And that's what it was like on Halloween. That stuff started to stick, and it blew. And I'm like, it's already Halloween. It's not even the beginning of winter yet. And you got the nerve to be snowing like it is. I said, I can already tell. We finna be in for one cold, blistery, messed up weather. And I believe they predicted that as well, too, that we are in for a very brutal weather. I mean, winter, this with the weather. So I'm not looking forward to that because I'm a winter baby, but I can't stand the winter. If I could be in Florida or Georgia or Texas, that's where I want to go. Because just here this winter in Chicago, ain't no punk. If anybody's ever been to Chicago or anybody just listened to the show is from Chicago, you know our winters are no joke here. And I just count down the days. I'll be sitting on the calendar, whether I'm at home knocking off the calendar or if I got a calendar on my phone, I sit there and I count the days. So we got X amount of days to the hot weather. And it's a meme that I post around, I think it's, I posted it maybe February. If you on my page, you'll see it. But it's either in February or January that I posted where it says it's such and such many more days. I believe it's February, March. It's 51 something more days. I think it's either 51 or 50 more something days to warm weather. And I post that meme faithfully every year around that time because that lets me know that we are back to warm weather pretty soon. And like I said, I cherish the summer because it comes so fast, but I love it. I love it when it's hot. I love the warm weather. And if I could relocate, I probably will probably end up relocating after a while. I'm going to go somewhere where it's warm because this cold weather just ain't doing it for a brother. Not at all. Not at all. Okay. So, a couple of things in the media this week that I want to discuss. The first one, talking about the Popeye's chicken sandwich. Yes, the Popeye's chicken sandwich is back. After we thought the Popeye's chicken sandwich hype was gone, the Popeye's chicken sandwich is back. And it's back, and it's like it done got worse. I saw somebody posted a video on my IG, and it showed a lady. And I don't know if anybody else has seen it, but it was a video that somebody posted that went viral. It was a lady that was, I mean, she was just so adamant about getting in the line. I guess the person must have cut her in the line to order her food at Popeye's that they was like butting like they was at the go-karts. And I mean, it was this brand new car that they both was in. And she was denting up that car because she was so determined to get to that microphone because she did not get there first. So she was just banging the car. And then you had somebody else outside filming it because, you know, when stuff gets to going on, we get to getting out our phones. And we got to film it. We got to go viral and put it on social media. And I saw it, and I was like, is it that serious? So, a chicken sandwich, a sandwich that is nothing but a Popeye's spicy or mild breast with no bones in it, with pickles, with mayonnaise on a bun. Is it that serious for this chicken sandwich? And I've had it twice. And I don't understand for the life of me what is the hype about this infamous chicken sandwich. I see people on my social media that I'm friends with. They go and they get this chicken sandwich, and they posting about it, and they get 4 or 5 chicken sandwiches and these big lines. And I'm like, is Jesus and Popeye's giving away these sandwiches, or is it cracking? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what the hype is about a breast that has no bones in it, that's either spicy or mild, on a sandwich bun bread with pickles and mayonnaise. It don't even have cheese on it. So what's the problem? I'm trying to figure out what is it that everybody is so adamant about getting to Popeye's every day to sit in the line and get a chicken sandwich. I don't understand what it is. I'm trying to figure it out. Like I said, I've had the sandwich twice, and to me, it's like, it's not really all that. Like, I'm ready for it the hype to die down because it's like I see these videos and you see, and I think I just saw another one where a lady got into another fight. And I'm like, is it that serious for a Popeye's chicken sandwich? And I'm going to tell you something. When I went to get the sandwich on yesterday, it's so bad. I couldn't even get the rest of my order out because I was ordering that and they had this 10-piece. They got a 10-piece, $10, 6-piece tender meal for $10. And I couldn't even get that order out because the girl just thought I was just done when I said chicken sandwich. She told me, well, then pull on up. I said, I'm not done with my order, sweetheart. It's that bad that the workers is like, when you, we know you want that, you don't want nothing else. Pull on up. That's what she told me. It wasn't no, can eat anything else, sir? Was that it? Pull on up. That's what she told me. Pull on up. I said, sweetheart, I'm not done. Calm down. I'm not done. Let's go. Let's revisit what I need to get because you didn't even ask me if I was done. You know, pull on up. You want this? What you want? Pull on up. So I'm just trying to figure out what the hype is about this chicken sandwich. I will be glad when the hype goes away about this chicken sandwich and we move on to something else. But one of my friends had told me it's another restaurant running a deal, and that's the reason why Popeyes brought this chicken sandwich back too, because I thought it was gone. I mean, I knew it probably was going to eventually come back, but I thought it was gone. And then when I saw the sign that said, we back with a vengeance, I'm like, you go to this chicken sandwich again. And then soon enough, the lines just start to get packed. So somebody please tell me, what is it with this Popeyes chicken sandwich? Because I don't understand it. To me, it tastes like a regular chicken sandwich. That's it. If you want to get crazy about something, go down to Doc's Fishery here in Chicago. Try that fish sandwich. That's something to get hyped about. That fish sandwich. If you get here, get the Doc. Try that fish sandwich, and then let me know who stands with who. That Popeyes chicken sandwich or Doc's fish sandwich, because Doc's fish sandwich is on point. And I wanted to get me one yesterday, but I couldn't get over to Country Club Hills fast enough, so I had to settle for the Popeyes chicken sandwich. But moving right along, the Cat Lady and Cameron Diaz. Is it Cameron Diaz, everybody, that's on this meme with this cat? The Cat Lady and the cat. That's all I've been seeing all week. It's the Cat Lady and the cat. And it's been some funny memes. Two of them. And I had to post them on my page because I had to crack up when I posted them. It's one where they had the caption where she was like, it's time to go. And then they had the cat in the other caption with a church mother hat on saying, take your time, pastor. And I fell out when I saw that, because it's just when you see these memes with this, well, I think it's, like I said, Cameron Diaz, this lady, and this cat, and they going back and forth. When you can understand what these captions are and how they make you look at them, when you look at them, they are funny. So that one, the church one, was funny, and then the one with Tank. If y'all know what Tank, what I talked about last week in the show, what Tank did, it's one where Tank is supposed to be walking to the, or at the table with the cat, and he speaks to the cat, and the cat says, get your such, such, such away from my table. And when I saw that, I fell out. So this cat, Mimi, and Cameron Diaz, I don't know who created it. Like I said, when things blow up and get on social media, go viral. But I've been seeing things for the last 2 weeks or a week or whatever, but this has been funny. This cat and Cameron Diaz and this white girl, and they continue to keep creating different ones, and they funny. So kudos to whoever did that, because that was my laugh for the day, those two, the church one and the one where Tank was at the table talking to the cat, the single Tank, that is, talking to the cat, and the cat said, get your such and such, what, because you know what he did, talking about how, you know, if you're giving head and you're giving head to another man, you know, you're not gay. So the cat told him, get your such and such, such away from my, and I just had to crack up when I saw that. So the Cat Lady and the cat has been the talk of the town for the week, too. And then we have T.I. T.I. has been in the news. T.I. My brother, I understand your concern for your daughter and for your kids. And I don't have any kids, so I can kind of sympathize with T.I. just a little bit. But I think, well, from what I heard, the situation is that T.I. has been going to the gynecologist with his daughter to check to see if she's been having sex. Now, I can understand that as a minor, even a teenager, but I think that at a certain point, because I believe the girl is, what, 18, 19 now, it needs to stop because she's a grown woman. And it's like, I can understand a mother going, but a father wanted to know that personal information like that, that's kind of a little touchy. And like I said, I'm kind of on a seesaw with it, because I definitely would want to protect my daughter. I wouldn't want her to be out there promiscuous and having sex and doing this and, you know, all these, you know, because, you know, with us guys, what's on our brain. But even the girls is kind of raunchy and ratchet nowadays, too. So you can't just blame us, because these little girls is raunchy and ratchet, too. And that's why I can kind of sympathize with him just a little bit, but I just wouldn't want to know just all that information. And I don't know if I'm detailing what's been told when I've been hearing on the radio. I heard it today when I was on the way to work about what he actually did. But I would prefer if her mother was taking her from a female aspect than the dad. Like, I would want to know, but I would want to be going to the doctor to talk about that. That's just, that's a lot, yeah. So, I mean, I give, you know, you credit. You are a good dad from what I've seen, you know, and for what you've done for your kids. But come on now, bro. Why isn't her mother taking her to the gynecologist to talk about that? And I'm like, I'm going to say, I would want to know, but I wouldn't personally want to know all of that. Not me. So, I also had the chance to view and hear about in the news as well this Clark Atlanta student. I can't think of her name, but I just want to send condolences out to her family. This kind of touched me. There's a Clark Atlanta student that had been missing for a couple of days, and I recently saw on the news and also on social media that they found her body. And it was kind of heartbreaking because the people that did it was the roommate of the girl, the girl's roommate. Female roommate, her boyfriend is the one that actually killed the girl. And they also stated that she had previously went to the police about the guy because he was touching her, the girl, inappropriately. And I'm just trying to figure out the story because I can't understand and see how I'm your roommate and I'm letting my boyfriend or condone. I don't know if she knew about the boyfriend touching on the girl that got killed, but I'm just trying to understand from that girl's point of view, like, your boyfriend should have not had any contact or been coming by the apartment to talk to her while you weren't there. I just did not understand it, but I know it touched me because I know her family was looking for her. They had everybody in Georgia looking for her. And then to find out that she got killed, it's just beyond crazy. And it's just, like I said, it touched me so much that I had to talk about it on the show. And that's why I just say, it's like, you never know, you know, these people crazy. You got to watch who you're with. You got to watch who you know. You got to watch where you go. You got to watch your surroundings. You got to watch everything because it's people crazy. People crazy. And my heart goes out to the family of that young lady. And I just hope justice is served in this situation because I'm not understanding for the life of me how the girl, the roommate's boyfriend had any contact anyway. And I know she probably went to the girlfriend, her roommate, and told him, like, you know, your boyfriend pushing up on me, this and that. You know what I'm saying? For her to go to the police, she had to have done that. So it just baffles me. And I haven't really fully heard the whole story, but I'm looking to read into it more. But it, like I said, it just really shocked me because I know they've been looking for her for a while. Well, I think about a week, 2 weeks, and they finally found her body in, I believe, Decatur. So it's really, really sad, really sad story. So definitely condolences to her family. I also want to send condolences to my extended down south family on the passing of my cousin Orlando Rochelle. And I want to thank everybody who's listening that is on my Facebook page that sent condolences when I put that out there that my cousin had passed and had transitioned. So thank you to everyone that showed concern, sent your well wishes. I want to also thank everyone that just send me their well wishes and said, you know, keep your head up. I really don't know too much of my down south family, but we're family. And I talk to them, some of them on Facebook and social media. So I feel like I'm close to them, but I'm really not, but I'm close to them. So when I saw that my cousin had passed, it kind of was like I knew him, even though I don't know him, but I felt a certain type of way because he's family. So I just want to say thank you to everyone that sent well wishes. Love you to my family down south and condolences as well to his sisters, his kids, my cousin, his sister, like I said, my other cousins moved, Rochelle. I just want to say condolences to you guys on that as well, too. As always, as we get ready to round up on this show is sponsored by the New Beggars Pizza in Gary, Indiana, and they're open till midnight tonight. Their address is 4345 South Broadway in Gary, Indiana, and their telephone number is area code 219-951-0695. Again, that area code is 219-951-0695. The New Beggars Pizza in Gary, Indiana was owned by two of my classmates, Quentin and Jonathan Harris. And if you get a chance to go in there, tell them that their classmate from high school, from Thornton, Jeffrey Rochelle, sent you. and see what kind of discount or whatever you get for free. But that's the New Beggars Pizza in Gary, Indiana, and they're open till midnight tonight. And Mickey's on Stony, home of the famous jerk fry. They are open till 1 a.m. this morning, and their address is 8126 South Stony Island, and they're on the southeast side of Chicago. So if you are on the southeast side of Chicago, anywhere in that area you can get to, Mickey's is open till 1 a.m. They have some bomb food, bomb.com food, especially their jerk fries. And they do different types of combinations with their jerk fries as far as meat, different types of different things they put on there. So if you get a chance, get to Mickey's on Stony for them jerk fries. And they have a plethora of other things, but their jerk fries is what they're known for. And their address is 8126 South Stony Island on the southeast side of Chicago. And their phone number is area code 773-902-2800. Again, their number is 773-902-2800. And Layla Sports Bar and Grill, that address is 14908 Chicago Road in Dalton, Illinois. That's Layla Sports Bar and Grill. That address is 14908 Chicago Road in Dalton, Illinois. Now, for the moment that we all have been waiting for, because I want to hear about this book called The Single Wife. I want to know what a single wife is and how is a wife single. So, we are going to bring on none other, Miss Marquita B, and she had to correct me because I was calling her Marquita, and I'm glad she did because I don't want to get on here and call her Marquita and then she get me right together when I hit the button and put her on live on the show. So we are going to talk to Miss Marquita B, and I see her in the queue. So everyone, let's welcome on the author of The Single Wife, Miss Marquita B. Marquita, go ahead and speak.
Body, hi Jeffrey. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing well. Condolences to you and your family.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. So let's get started because I want to definitely hear about this book, but I want to first let everybody hear who Marquita B is. So tell us, who are you, author Marquita B, and where are you from?
So I currently live in Maryland, right outside of D.C. I'm originally from Nyack, New York. I've lived in several places, though, along the East Coast, but I'm in the D.C. area now.
Okay. All right. And what made you decide to become an author? Like, were you a reader before that? Because I know me, I was a reader. But what made you decide that you wanted to write books? Were you a reader before that and you saw that? Or what was it that said, I want to write books?
I was a reader back when I had a lot of time to do so, like years ago. So when I was in my 20s, I probably read every like Eric Jerome Dickey book there was. He was my favorite. But I've always been a writer. So it's just always come, you know, for school papers and that kind of thing, it's just always come really easy to me. Within the past few years, I was like, I really need to hone in and, you know, on the craft itself and just see what I could do with it. And so that really is what caused me to write this book. This is my my first book as an author.
Okay. And what year did you publish your first book?
This year. In October.
Okay.
October 4th.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. For some reason, I thought you was, like, already seasoned in the game. I don't know why. I thought you was already out there. Okay. Okay, cool. Awesome. So this is your first year. Okay. Awesome. And I know you just mentioned Eric Jerome Dickey. I know some of my favorites. What made me actually want to read, or I should say want to write, is that I started reading when I was about, I want to say 10, and I was reading Terry McMillan and Iceberg Slim and Donald Goins.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually was getting chastised because at 10 years old, I should have been reading those books, but I was reading those books at 10 years old. Dude, I'm saying,
oh,
so, you know, I was,
yes.
Right, Yeah, my mom was taking a belt to that backside, like, you ain't got no business going in my closet, getting these books, or going off my dresser, getting these books, and why you doing that? But look at me today, Marquita. Look at us today. We writing books.
I see.
You know what I'm saying?
I see, yeah.
You know, so things paid off. You know, us reading, you know, things paid off. So I tell mom that all the time. Things paid off of me reading those books back then. You know.
Definitely.
All right. So, yes. So this is your very first book, The Single Wife?
Yes.
Okay. And
I'm working on some other projects, but yeah, this is my first one. It's the first of a 3-part series.
Awesome. Okay, so it's going to be like a 3-part. Okay, cool. And what made you want to write in a 3-part series?
Well, I wanted to just like kind of dip my foot in the water first and just see how readers were receptive. So it's in a shorter format. It's, I guess you could consider it a novella. It's shorter. I just wanted to see how receptive people were. Now that I know how people are responding to it, the next two will be longer. But yeah, it was just like a trial run, really, with this first one.
Okay. And I certainly did that with my Friday at the Dark book. It's a novella. So how many pages is The Single Wife?
144, I believe.
Okay, awesome. And like you said you wanted to just get your feet wet first. You didn't want to go too much in-depth into it.
Right, you know, because you want to kind of figure out what your audience wants to read, you know, what people like, dislike. I just wanted to put feelers out there for the first one.
Okay, cool. And you said that your other two after this in the three series is going to be longer.
Yes. My goal is to definitely make them a little bit longer.
Okay. Awesome. Okay, so tell me, because I know you heard my question, what is The Single Wife? Because I want to know.
A single wife can be many things, but from the perspective of this book, it has a woman in it. Her name is Nakia, and Nakia basically has like what I call the Disney persona of marriage. So she's seen her parents, they've been married for many years, and she just assumes that she'll get in a relationship and Mr. Right will be right there and everything will be bliss with a white picket fence. And in her, you know, she's rushing into things and determines that, you know, she gets more than what she bargained for. Because, you know, with true love, you really have to work through things and you really have to get to know somebody. And she finds that out after she deals with a lot of drama.
Okay. Oh wow. So this is definitely a cliffhanger that the readers are going to get a hold of.
Absolutely.
Definitely. It sounds like it. So, was there a big struggle writing this book? Like, could you put yourself in that character's shoes when you wrote it? Like,
I put myself in a lot of women's shoes who are married, that feel lonely, that are in relationships maybe longer than they should be in. So it really is coming from perspectives of a lot of different women.
Awesome. So it wasn't too much of like a struggle for you to like write this book. Was it like a point where you were like, okay, I'm into it, but then I put it down and I want to take a break? Or was it like a flow through? Like it was just like, okay, I'm writing, I'm getting home, anxious to write from work or what need be. Was it like that for you, or was it like a slow period at times?
I'm not going to say that it was easy. I mean, I've added stuff to it. It was, you know, really reread and reworked like 6 different times. I had beta readers taking a look at it. I had editors. So it was a process. Generally, what I do is I have a notebook. I have tons of ideas in that book, and it's essentially piecing things together. You know, you get a good idea, you write a note about it, and then later on figure out, okay, what chapter, where can this go, that sort of thing.
Okay. So not too much of a struggle. Everything was I got a chance to write it down on a sticky note, stick it here, and let me go back and rewrite that, and okay, I can put that in there for you.
Right. It honestly, the concept was the easiest piece to come up with. The issue was where to add dialogue, where to make things more visual, where to have more, you know, conversations between the characters as to just describing things. So that that was probably the, I'm not going to say the hardest thing, but just figuring out where to do that probably took the longest amount of time for me.
Okay. And what was your biggest struggle with putting this book together? Was it the editing? Was it the getting the resources you needed? Because a lot of people ask me that question. I like to hear that from a lot of different authors that I'm, you know, family with, that call you my brothers and sisters. So what was, like, the biggest struggle for you of putting it, this being your first book, putting it together?
Probably figuring out, you know, it's hard to get into a publishing house. It's extremely difficult. I had many meetings with people. I've emailed and called. Like, I did a lot over the past year specifically related to that. And eventually, you know, with all the struggles that I was having, the dead ends, I was getting meetings. I looked into developing my own publishing company and getting the proper, you know, licensing from the state and that sort of thing. So I ended up just going that route and developing my own publishing company. I'm not going to say it was very difficult to do, but it just took a lot of time to decide to do that.
Okay. Awesome. And what's the name of your publishing company?
It's Corks and Coils Publishing.
Okay.
Okay.
And what I was going to ask you before cutting you off, I'm sorry. Are you looking to put other authors under you, or are you just going to basically stay Marquita B? Like, are you looking to maybe later on now help other people publish under that publishing company, or is it strictly just for you per se?
No, I definitely want to branch out. So as I get more experience doing it on my own and, you know, have the ability to hire folks in to assist, I definitely want to get more authors. So, yeah, for right now,
okay,
it's just about me. This is so I can get up and, you know, get fully up and running and put out these few projects that I have up next on my agenda. Once I do that, I'll definitely be looking to obtain some more authors that are looking to get published.
Okay, awesome. Let's talk about these projects. I hear you mentioned this thing. It's the third time you said it. So I'm interested in that, too. What projects you got coming?
So definitely the next two books in The Single Wife, the ones that come after The Single Wife, the whole series itself is called The Journeys of the Heart series. So book two and three should be coming out. Book two definitely beginning part of next year, and book three maybe the latter part of next year, we'll see. But in addition to that, I do have several ideas and concepts for children's books as well. And so I recently wrote a children's book, and my goal is to write about things that not only affect adults, but also, you know, affect children, things that children see and hear and write from their perspective. So I wrote a book this past few weeks, actually, related to colorism. I'm currently shopping for an illustrator, but my goal is to put out a series about colorism from, you know, a darker skin child's perspective, as well as even from a lighter skin child's perspective, just so, you know, girls know that you are okay the way that you are. So it's really meant to be an uplifting book and to let, you know, little girls know that it's okay to look like what you look like.
Right.
You know, don't always assume that what you see in the media is the true idea of beauty.
Right. So many times we get affected with what social media puts out, and that's really just make-believe at times. And I like the fact that you are concentrating that area for children's books. Awesome. Are you going to maybe, like, do a series, or, you know, just want to stay with that one, or are you going to branch out and do others?
No, I definitely have two in the series for right now. I'm considering doing something from, you know, our black young boys as well. I don't have that concept fully lined up yet, but definitely for right now, from the girls' perspective, I do want to get that out really soon. Hopefully, you know, by the end of this year, beginning of next year.
Okay. Awesome. What do you want readers to take away from The Single Wife once they read that? Like, what's the message you're putting out in that book? I meant to ask you that when you're talking about it, but I kind of quarterback to it now. So what is the message that you want to put out in that book?
Sure. Of all the messages in the book, I think the biggest would be that when a woman is done with putting up with certain things, she's done. Every woman's limit is going to be different. So I've had a lot of people, you know, talk about the character in the book, and they're like, she put up with it too long. She did this too long. And I'm like, her limit is her limit, and your limit is your limit. And on top of that, it's fiction, so let's relax. But I just wanted to make it clear that, you know, from the outside looking in, we all have opinions. But you don't know what a person is dealing with until you're in that same exact situation. And 9 times out of 10, that's never going to happen. So we all have to take things with a grain of salt and not be so judgmental. That would probably be the biggest key point that I would want people to take away.
Right, right. And I get several times, I mean, like looking at television shows related to the field, you like, okay, she's going to keep putting up with that. Like you said, we all, a woman has, you guys have your limits. You know, you never know, you know, what's going to tick that person off and what how long it takes. You know, we all different. And like you said, it's fiction too. I get people that get that too, like, you did this in a book. I'm like, wait a minute, it's a book that it's fiction. It's not make-believe. It's make-believe. It's not real.
Right.
Definitely understand with that. Definitely. So I know, Marquita, you get people that come and say, you wrote a book. Now I'm thinking about writing a book, or, you know what, I'm writing a book. But they might come up and ask you, too, what advice can you give? So what advice, if someone asks you or have asked you, would you give them becoming a new and out-to-date published author? Like, what advice did you give them to say, okay, this is what steps you need to go about taking, or this is what advice I can give you as you're getting out to get your book written and published?
I would start with saying, like, I do carry some form of notebook or something to where you could take notes, your laptop, your iPad, whatever, somewhere that when you get an idea, you can immediately write it down so you don't forget it. I would also say you honestly have to hit the ground running, because there are so many authors out there. So if you're really trying to get to a point where you're published and you really want to make it, you really have to be on your grind. And I mean, from, you know, getting good editors, that would be probably up there in the top three.
Oh yeah.
Marketing too, but getting a good editor, you know, I don't believe in putting out junk. So I was probably my worst enemy. And when I say that this thing was like overhauled like a good 6 times, I mean every bit of that. I wanted it to be right, and I wanted it to evoke certain emotions in the readers at times. And if you want to, you know, put out quality work, you have to spend a little. You have to get a good editor. You've got to get some marketing people behind you. There are just a lot of things, but honestly, you have to take it seriously and know that it's for sure what you want to do, because it's not easy. Anyone could just write something and slap a book cover on it and post it on Facebook, but you want it to be quality because you want your readers to want to come back. You know, I have people knocking down my door to get this next book out. That's my goal. I always want to write something that people can view themselves as. You know, they can see themselves as the character, or they get some sort of revelation about their own lives. Like, I want it to evoke certain things out of people, and I want it to be meaningful.
Yes, definitely. And you hit that on the ball when you said a good editor, because I had an editor that was giving me back junk, and I kept sending it back, Marquita. I was like, I'm not putting this out. Like, you got all these mistakes. I have my oldest aunt, Marquita, that looks at my manuscripts before I send them to the editor. And my last book, what I did was I went back and forth, because I would catch certain things and certain things she wouldn't. And then the editor would catch certain things and then she would put certain things. And it's like, before I put the book out, I was going back and forth with my editor, like, come on now, you got misspelled words. So I definitely understand what you mean by getting a quality editor, because you just can't let anybody put anything out, because people see that and be like, well, you know, I brought this book and I want my money back because it's got all these mistakes in it. You know,
I definitely
with that. Cause
and it is definitely trial and error, because I did have an editor initially and I was not pleased at all. And so I ended up finding someone else, and I love her to pieces. Like, I will send her everything because she knows how to do it. It's not just about the story itself. I need the punctuation, right? Like, you just need everything to be, you know, right. You want it to look as professional as possible. Definitely be ready to invest in that.
Exactly. And what genre do you write in? Is it specifically what the single wife is dealing with, or are you, like, I know you're doing children's books too, but what genre are you targeting or targeting, or genres, I should say, targeting?
I mean, I guess it would just be, like, African-American fiction, adult fiction, that sort of thing. I haven't really categorized it with anything other than that on, like, Amazon or Barnes & Noble's.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so you say you're not there yet, you're...
I'm sorry, say again.
I said you're not there on Amazon yet. Is that what you said?
No, I am. But I'll be talking about
okay.
the categories that I have on Amazon. It would just be like African-American fiction.
Oh, okay. Got you.
Mm-hmm.
Got you. Okay. Okay. Awesome.
Oh,
so
no, it's out. It's on Amazon. It's in all on all platforms on Amazon.
Platform.
And it's on Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
As well. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good read, too?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Because I
yes.
was shocked to see that one. My book was on there too on Goodreads. I'm like, how did I get here? But I guess, you know, so I guess they put our books on there. I don't know. Did you have to put them on there? Because I didn't put my books on there. They was just there. And I'm like, okay.
No, I'm not sure how it got on there. I think it just has to do with ISBN, but I'm not sure. If it's, I think it's automatic.
Okay. So what would you say has been your biggest accomplishment so far? Being this is your first baby, you excited about it, it definitely sounds like a winner. What would you say was been your very biggest accomplishment so far with this book?
Honestly, just putting it out. It was delayed so often just because I wanted to get it right with editing and all that. So just putting it out was a blessing in itself. I just wanted it to be put out there. I mean, it was like blood, sweat, and tears. But I was so happy when it was done. And when I got the first proofs, like, I was overjoyed, honestly.
Yeah. Yes. When you get that very first proof, I can think back to that day for me. It was like, wow, finally done, over with. I wanted to cry.
Right.
Yeah. So there's nothing like getting that proof.
I understand. Right.
definitely. So you got your the series coming. You got your
mm-hmm.
children's books coming. Are you going to go
mm-hmm.
in any other avenues after this series as well, too? I know you got a lot of things coming with, you know, the series, the single wife, and then the children's books. Are you going to explore any other avenues?
Oh, my goodness. I have a notebook full of so much stuff. It's just a matter of piecing more ideas together. But I have so many concepts whirling around in my head. Like, you wouldn't even imagine. I definitely want to do more. I mean, if I could, you know, get to a place where I could put this in theater, I would love to do that. Like, there's so many places, you know, that I would love for this book to go and any others that I do.
Okay.
So trust
okay.
me, you'll
awesome.
Be seeing it. You'll be seeing it elsewhere soon, I'm sure.
Yes. And I'm definitely going to get a copy and read it and give a review for it once I finish my project that I'm working on as well, too, because I like to read still. And I like to, you know, sit back and see what other authors are, you know, with their stories and things. Because like I said before, I was a writer. I was a big reader, of course, like you as well, too. So I like to read when in my spare leisure time. So I definitely plan on getting and giving a review for it as well.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problem. Okay. So, Marquita, where can people find you on social media? Like, what are your social media handles on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook?
Sure. Corks and Coils Publishing on Instagram and Facebook. My business Facebook page is Corks and Coils Publishing, but Marquita Cozart Bushrod is my personal Facebook page. You can find me there as well. Twitter, I really don't do too much with, but it's Corks and Coils Publishing on there as well.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to turn it to the segment of where we're going to bring in some callers to ask you some questions and give you well wishes, and then we'll give the lucky caller a book, okay?
Sure.
So I am going to go down this list because, Miss Marquita, you got a live audience tonight. I mean, I've never
really?
Had these many callers call in. Yes, it's a lot of people called in tonight. I've never
oh,
had this
wow.
on the show that I've done already. Yes. So I'm going to start with area code 240, area code, and the last four is 6705. You're on the Saturday Spotlight with Jeff and Marquita B. Go ahead and speak.
Hello, how you doing? Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hey, how you doing? I just wanted to thank my this is Ricky B.
oh,
I just
hey,
wanted to thank my
husband.
I just want to thank
nice
my
to
lovely
you,
my beautiful wife. Yeah, I love to thank my beautiful wife on her accomplishment, man. She's worked very diligently and hard on this project, and as well as taking care of us too. So you can imagine how much she's actually had to put into this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh,
yes,
babe,
sir.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome, babe. I'm just so proud of you, and I'm looking forward to all of your many more accomplishments that you're going to make. I know you're going to kill us.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll see you downstairs in a minute, okay?
Okay, babe.
Love you.
Love you, too.
Mr. Ricky B, thanks for calling in, sir. Definitely, definitely keep supporting the wife, because she definitely sounds like she got a lot behind her belt.
She does, and I'm definitely going to start listening into your podcast as well. This is my first time actually coming across, and I like it.
Thank you so much.
Keep up
appreciate
the good work.
It. Appreciate
yeah, keep up the good work.
Thank you so. Yes, thank you so much.
No problem.
All right. Okay, Marquita, we got 845-0854. You are on the Saturday Spotlight with Jeff and Marquita. Go ahead and speak.
Hello?
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 Say hello, Georgie.
Hello.
That might be your number.
Oh, my goodness. Hi, Grandma.
Hi, how are you?
I am good. How are you?
I am so proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I am very proud of you, and I'm wishing you well. And I don't know what else to say about you. I know that you're going to do well.
Aww.
Yes.
My grandma, she's published some things too. So, you know, the apple doesn't fall too far.
Okay, Grandma, how can we find you, Grandma?
I didn't hear you.
I said, how can we find you?
Well, you have to find me through the Ministers' Wives and Ministers' Widows Incorporated.
Okay.
And Seeds of Strength. You won't find me at where she is.
I heard that. We want to definitely read some of them books. Because you wrote some books, Grandma?
I wrote in the book and in the Bible. Devotionals in the Minister's Wise Bible.
Okay. Which is why you said the fact, yeah, okay, got you.
We're on two different streaks here.
I hear you, Granny. I hear you. Well, thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you,
and
Grandma.
I thank
you
for allowing me to call. Love you.
Love you, too.
Okay, Marquita, we got 813-3606. You're on the Saturday Spotlight with Jeff and Marquita B. Go ahead and speak.
Good evening.
Hi.
Hi, it's Cherie.
Hey, Ree.
Super excited for you. So excited for you. We are such a proud family. I mean, the way you have executed this, Marquita, in such a spirit of excellence and grace, we are so proud of you. Very well written, very well spoken this evening. You really do stand out and make us proud as a family. We are praying blessings upon blessings on you and the works that are to come from you. We love you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Cherie. I really appreciate it.
And Cherie is Cherie too. Just the cousin?
Yes.
Yes, my cousin.
Yes.
Awesome, 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 awesome. And that's so good that, Marquise, you got your family calling in. I like that as well, too. Definitely the support.
Yes,
I see that.
We're all readers, so we, yeah. Super proud. We love
you, Okay.
Thank you. Love you, too.
Okay. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling in, cousin.
Bye-bye.
All right, we got 845 is the area code, 9554. You're on the Saturday Spotlight with Jeff and Marquita B. Go ahead and speak. Hello?
Hello?
Okay, I guess they didn't. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they didn't
they
want to speak to us. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Moving down the line, we got 443-4634. You're on the Saturday Spotlight with Jeff and Marquita B. Go ahead and speak. Hello? All righty. Another one that wants to hide in the background.
All right.
Yeah. 540-0945. You're on the Saturday Spotlight with Jeff and Marquita B. Go ahead and speak.
Hello.
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 Yes.
Hello.
Yes. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, uh-huh. We can.
Yes, I'm the proud mother of Marquita.
And dad.
And dad.
Oh, wow. Mom.
Oh, hey, Mom.
Yes, we're calling from, we're calling from Virginia.
Yeah.
We are so proud of our daughter. She's beautiful. She's smart inside and out. And we just can't give her enough accolades. She deserves every one of them.
Aw, thank you, Ma.
Aw, Mom.
Thank you so much.
Yes. We're so glad to be able to listen in on this podcast for the first time, and we're really enjoying it. We've enjoyed every bit of it.
Oh, thank you so much, and I'm glad that Marquita was able to stop by. Thank you.
Yes, and I'm so glad that I was the first. I was the first to read the book.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was a beta reader.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was very good. Very, very good. I'm too looking forward to all of her other books and every accomplishment she has in mind.
Oh.
Thank you, Mommy. Love you.
We love you too, girl.
You too.
Talk to you soon.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in, Mom.
Okay. Thank you.
All
bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we got time for two more calls. There's a couple of people in here. So I'm going to switch around a bit, Marquita. So we got 914-9494. You're on the Saturday Spotlight with Jeff and Marquita. Go ahead and speak.
Hello, Marquita. This is your cousin, Ronnie.
Hey, Ronnie.
Congratulations. I'm trying to figure out, are you getting questions or is this just your whole family calling in to say what's up?
I know. I was looking for some questions, but I guess I'm not getting them tonight.
Well, I'll give you a good question. Where did you come up with the idea for this book?
It honestly comes from a variety of things that I've heard, things that I've thought about, some of my own experiences. It's a compilation of things from several women's point of view.
Okay. Is there a part two coming?
Yes, there's a part two and three. It's a three-part series.
So it's a trilogy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I have my book. I still haven't read it. I'm working on it, though. I am. But I am so proud of you.
Thank you.
Hello? You know I am. You know. I'm actually... I was getting on the family text message, and I saw that this was happening, and I'm out waiting for my son to come out from a Sweet 16. I was like, well, let me call in. And then I heard it. I heard him say my name, my number. I was like, whoa, 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 what's going on? I guess I get to meet. But I love all our family members. They're calling in, and I, you know, we get to talk, and I love. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Or am I on?
Yeah,
can you hear me?
Yeah.
But
no,
we're very, very proud of you. And
I'm
glad you're good. I wish you nothing but the best and much success. And if you need somebody to play somebody in the movie adaptation, I am free. In the summers, I'm off, so I'll be able to do it then.
I got you.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you for calling,
Ronnie.
No problem. Happy, good luck, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we got time for one more call. One more call, and that is going to be 708-1527. You're on the Saturday Spotlight with Jeff and Marquita. Go ahead and speak. Hello?
Hello, I am here. Hi, Marquita. I'm Jeffrey's mother. He's putting me on the spot now because I'm just listening. I'm enjoying everything that I'm hearing. I love the fact that the two guys are reaching out to each other, getting to be known to other people that don't know there's a lot of Black authors out there. You know, it's just very inspiring to just sit back and listen. I listen every Saturday, and Jeffrey always called my number. I don't want to be like one of those other people, just stay in the back and not say anything, but I wish you much success. Keep on doing what you're doing, and
thank
sound
you.
Very good.
Thank
okay.
you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Mom.
All right. Good night.
All right.
Good night.
Okay, Marquita, well, I'm certainly glad that you were able to stop by the show tonight, ma'am. So if you want to just go over those handles one more time, let us know where the people can reach you at.
Sure. Corks and Coils Publishing on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and also Marquita Cozart Bushrod on Facebook as well.
Okay. Awesome. 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 So, Marquita, we will get with you to see if you can raffle off that book and give it to somebody. Again, thanks again for
Definitely.
Calling on the Saturday Spotlight tonight.
Thank you so much, Jeff, for allowing me on your platform. This has been great. It's my first interview, so I really appreciate you taking a chance on a new author.
No problem, no problem. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Good night.
Bye-bye.
So there you have it. We have author Marquita B on tonight. Her book is The Single Wife. You can check her out on Facebook at Marquita Cozart Bushrod. And she has The Single Wife, and she's also on Amazon as well, The Single Wife by Marquita Cozart Bushrod, a.k.a. Marquita B. Next week, Sean returns and will co-host with me. And you don't want to miss next Saturday's episode as we talk to author Apalaka Lurchi, a.k.a. Mario Smith, about the drama and shade of the urban fiction world. So tune in to the Saturday Spotlight with Jeff and Sean. Have a great rest of the week and upcoming week, a great rest of the weekend and upcoming week. And always remember, what you do for Christ is the only thing that will last. Until next time, I will see you on the Saturday Spotlight.